This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Johnny G, John Gabrus, in the High and Mighty Studios. Joining me, as always, is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus, who just left. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios for the first time is my guest, the number one molasses boy. The number one molasses boy. Boy, Alan McLeod. Alan, thank you for coming into High and Mighty Studios.
Number one molasses boy.
Molasses boy. The molasses boy in the house coming down the chimney. I don't know why.
Ho, ho, ho.
Just mixing like 11 different analogies. Alan, thanks for coming over, man.
Ah, so happy to be here.
Yeah,
I was so excited to watch you do that. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable.
I'm the same exact way. I start doing it and then I like can't look at you until I'm done. I was like, oh, I can't. I was like getting I didn't even want to see what your reaction was when I said molasses boy because I was too afraid.
That snuck up on me.
Yeah. I thought of it when you were coming over. I was like, I'm gonna get to say molasses boy.
Well, anything I can do to get that brand out there, because I really want to.
It's really helping.
I think a molasses business might be in my future if I can
molasses
if
boy
I can really
molasses.
Get myself branded that way.
Well, that's the thing. If you're an actor or working in Hollywood in any capacity, the only way you make real money is to invest in something else.
Yeah.
Like George Clooney is the most successful actor maybe ever, and he makes all his money off of tequila.
Like, he can't even scrape by.
Right.
With
he's
just
like,
the
fuck, I gotta find some side gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like finding out that, like, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have, like, a podcast together.
Right.
Hey, Art, relax, dude. Sorry, he's all worked up.
Arthur.
It's okay. As usual, ruining the podcast. Yeah, that's pretty awful. Like,
yeah, you got to be a multi-hyphenate, you know, to do
you got
to
be a tequila don, a actor, writer, director.
Well, it's not, you know, that different than, you know, just like a blue collar tradesman who's got to be an electrician, a handyman.
Right. A little bit of everything.
A little bit. Yeah.
You got to know how to make high end tequila and market it. You got to do Nespresso commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, man, God love
George
him. He's gonna survive.
Nespresso,
Danny DeVito, and
my two favorite actors.
Kevin Spacey pops in. You know?
Of course,
Nespresso. That's knows what they're doing.
Isn't that so upsetting when big actors are in commercials?
Oh God,
I miss the days when they thought it was. But hey, Arthur, no parking. What do you want? Is your toy over here somewhere?
Oh, here it is. We want to toss it or what?
Jesus
do you want me to
Christ.
Do? You
I missed the
fight over it?
As I was saying, Arthur, I miss the days when like big actors were too like it was tacky to do commercials.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When people would say no to stuff so that it would like trickle down to the guys who don't have movie careers. Instead, now there's no shame in doing commercials anymore because movies are practically commercials in a way. There's no shame in doing commercials anymore, so it's like, how am I gonna book a fucking
the same way in America, the shrinking, dwindling middle class, there's no
there's fewer
journeyman
in
actors.
Hollywood.
You're either like a very
you're either broke or in everything.
Or in everything. I like the fact that they took the stink off commercials a little bit, but at the same time, now they're taking all my goddamn jobs.
I know. I could go, hey, look, I would love to sell fucking charcoal briquettes. You hear me, Kingsford?
Yeah.
I'm around. I haven't gone out for a commercial in like 5 years, but
I can say, hey, what's in your wallet? I can say it.
Yeah.
Look, what's wrong with that?
Hey.
Did that sound good?
Hey, AA, MCO. It's like a fucking, I don't even know if that's a company
AA,
anymore.
I'm choking. MCO.
Maybe actually that can't be a commercial. Just barely got through one line of dialogue. Before we get into our topic today, Alan, I'm going to read some reviews of the podcast. So here's how this works, guys. If you go and rate me 5 stars on iTunes and then roast me in the comments or the reviews, whatever they're called, I will read them on air. So here we go. This is from the reviewer's name is Bordy Joy, and the review is called A True Work of Fart. Gotta love it. human cat call and out of shape Belushi, John Gabris, delivers in his obscure performance art masterpiece about a developmentally challenged podcast host with a foul mouth and an hour to fill. It's Ali G meets What's Eating Gilbert Grape. 5 stars. Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Human cat call.
Human cat. That's a little unfair. That's a little unfair. Like,
like you're the thing that women hear.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a compliment.
Yeah, the cat calling is a compliment.
Like, it would be like the kind of guy that would cat call is the dig, but a human cat call is even guys think that I'm the right move with women, but yeah. Women hate me. Oh, actually, that makes total sense.
I'm all about separating the cat call from the cat caller.
Right. The cat call is its own thing. Don't trust the messenger. Just listen to the message, baby.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, ladies. When you're walking the streets,
ladies,
think about what the compliment. Who cares who's this coming?
Smile more, baby.
And don't you worry about it. We're just two straight white guys in a room telling women how to react. I can't believe catcalling still exists.
I don't know how anyone, I can barely talk to a stranger on, you know, a bus or something, much less
I have a hard time telling someone if they
dropped
something
to a woman passing by. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm so sorry you dropped $20. I am so sorry to take you out of your, whatever your
I'm so sorry. No less go like, hey, you're hot.
You're hot. I know what to do with that.
I know what I would do in a situation in which you were offering that up to me.
Right.
Also not
They
true.
Just have no filter.
A Real Roast by Brother Yos. I'd call this a roast, but if we're being honest, for John Garbys, it would have to be a deep fry. Tune in for the deserved self-deprecation. Stay for the chance to vicariously live through someone that allows themselves to do all the things that no sensible person would ever. 5 stars. Look forward to the new ep each week. BTW, Tiffany sounds lovely. What? Get my wife's name out your mouth, motherfucker.
Yeah, wow. That was a weird one to end on.
By the way, Tiffany sounds lovely. That's like an insane little like thing off at the end.
It's just trying to sugarcoat it a little bit at the end.
Like, I feel like that's something like a weird uncle says as he gets up from the table with a wink. By the way, she seems lovely. Good work, bud. You're like, oh, get the fuck away from me. Gabris asks us to roast him in the comments by JPR1234. Wonder if he made that just for this. But the dullard doesn't realize reviews are not comments. Look, don't even waste your time trying because no insult we could say can hope to even reach the things he tells himself. Wow. Thank you. I think.
I love that anyone just happening to like happen on your podcast, they see 5 stars and then they see like a vicious insult. It like must be so confusing.
I'm very curious because I thought I hacked the algorithm of like, there's no way Apple can keep track of what the words say. They can only keep track of the 5 stars, but I have like over 1,000 5-star ratings and I haven't moved the needle at all. So I'm wondering if Apple reads and it's like, he's been called alt-right like 20 times. Should we not promote his podcast? I wonder if I'm doing myself a disservice, actually.
Apple thinks that people maybe just don't understand the star system.
Right. They're like 5 stars out of 100. here we go. Review number 999. This is an older one a little bit. One more to... This is from M. Blanken 512. One more to go till 1,000. Johnny G certainly works harder than his dad, who mostly just lays around in a box all day. Ouch. That's a hard
mostly.
One. Mostly. What else does he do besides haunt my fucking dreams and whisper in my ear upon every decision I make in my life?
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
That was an intense one. Okay, we should end on that.
Yeah.
As always, rate me 5 stars and then roast me in the comments or reviews, whatever they're called. Sorry, JPR1234. And I could read yours aloud on air. Or tell your friends to do the same, even if they don't listen to the fucking podcast. You know, it's episode 125. It's time I start getting serious about... I've put out over 200 hours of content. Will you guys please start reviewing me?
Yeah, or get your mom or somebody to review.
Yeah, get your mom. Yeah. Anytime you're on... my friends host a podcast on the HeadGum called Twinnovation, and they're fucking lunatics, but they had a special promotion going where they were telling all their listeners to go to Apple stores and subscribe to their podcast via all the devices that were out.
Whoa.
And they were calling it Johnny Apple Store Day. And they were like, all their fans were posting videos of them hitting subscribe on like 5 iPads. I'm like, that's a fucking genius move.
Yeah, that's
good. If people do it on the grand scale. But yeah, anytime you visit your parents, if they have like a smartphone or your mom's like, can you help me with this? Take it out of their hand, open up podcast app, subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hack and then your make parents. Your mom listen to it. She would fucking hate it.
Because it'll just automatically come up.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't even have to look
at
it ever again.
She doesn't listen to podcasts, so she won't know what this even is.
Yeah. Just, she'll just be there. Fill up her hard drive with me screaming about burritos. Alan, we emailed like a while ago about doing this, and then I was out of town for a bit. Now we're back. We were talking about, we want to talk vacations
or
traveling.
Baby.
Yeah. And then the last
travel,
I'm going to push vacation. You're going to push travel. And we're going to argue that they're completely different things. And then when I ran into you last week, I was like, oh, how have you been? And you just explained to me that you were just recently on a trip. Your first trip with your son.
My first family trip with my 6 month old.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so exciting. It was, it was a domestic vacation.
You stayed in the house.
Stayed in the house. Yeah,
ordered in.
Yeah. Yeah, we put it in a little box. I called it an airplane. we went to Colorado and New Mexico. And
you drove?
Well, flew to Denver and then did sort of like a teardrop road trip.
Flew in and out of Denver.
Yeah.
Drove down from Denver through New Mexico and then back up to Denver.
Yeah. Yeah.
What states did you pick? Like what shit did you do along? What made you choose this? Let's talk about that first.
Well, we happen to have friends in each of these little zones that we realized we could just kind of like knock out all these long-standing invitations that, you know, they had
like,
offered
oh,
to come,
come
like,
out
hang out.
Hang out in Salt Lake City or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
I don't even know the map.
Yeah,
I'm here in
Utah,
Delaware,
yeah.
Which is right around there. Is Utah in that teardrop? No,
Utah
right?
is not in that teardrop, but it must be close by. I'm not no geography whiz, and there's no way we can ever find out. But the Colorado, yeah, so Denver, stayed like 2 nights in Denver because I'd been through there like once before because my wife went to Naropa, which is this like grad school in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh.
It's the school for it, the title is like for disembodied poets. It was like the on the road guys like
Ginsberg
and
the beat poets
started that. Yeah. So she went there, and anyway, so we started.
I gotta have her on just to talk about that. That sounds crazy.
Yeah,
fuck, get out of here.
Yeah,
all right, thank
you
guys.
She's in the car. Let's go switch it out. The baby's in the car. One of us had to stay.
Cracked the windows though, so the kid will be fine.
But we went. You know, it's one of those things where when you go, like when I was in New York recently, like. One day I walked, like, I just like, you know, it's just the best thing to just walk around that city. Yeah. If you don't get to spend a ton of time there, like go there once or twice a year. I walked like 10 miles one day. I walked like 8 miles one day. We did the same thing in Denver because it's a great walkable city, as is Boulder, but like walked like just pushing the stroller around 8 miles, like in a day, just walking around the Highland area, I think it's called, where we were staying in Airbnb. And then, walked into the, not like, I guess the downtown area. It's kind of like Santa Monica.
Just like
Promenade
stopping and grabbing
or
food if you're
yeah,
hungry.
Yeah, just stopping off, stopping at a bar here and there. We went to this great hotel restaurant, this hotel called the Brown Palace, which is like just this, I think it was the first hotel to have an atrium window in the roof. It's like one of those old hotels with a lot of history. And it's got this beautiful atrium in the lobby, and they have like 3 restaurants down there. And we went to this restaurant called the Old Ship, I think. And it just has, you know, like
the
this
Old Ship
in
the Brown Palace. It's like, it's like, yeah, yum.
Yeah.
Those are 4 of my favorite words when it comes to food.
I was weird, but there's, I do think like if you're in a new place and you're not staying at a hotel, if there's an old hotel with like a restaurant or something, it's probably worth checking out.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be like a lot of history there, or they'll have some like old fashioned way of cooking or something.
Yeah. I love finding some weird shit like that. Yeah.
And you can get great cocktails and just be like day drunk walking around, you know,
pushing your stroller around. Helps support you. It makes it easier to walk. Yeah.
Oh, and there's this like bookstore that's great that Stacy wanted to hit, like my wife Stacy, who wanted to hit the tattered cover or something. It's called
it great
nice
name.
Bookstore.
Great name. Yeah.
Great kids section, which now I'm like all about
kids
checking
books.
Out the kids section because it for whatever reason had never appealed to me. But yeah, it's like there's so
I
many...
bet you at one point it appealed to you, but you were too young to really get it.
Right. And now it's like, oh, let's check out that. Wow, look, I haven't seen this book before. Because you kind of think you know all the kids' books
but
for some reason.
But they have been making them for 30 years.
They continued to make them, apparently, after I was no longer a child.
Once I was grew out of their customer base, for some reason, they continued to make books.
Yeah, So,
did you read B.J. Novak's kids' book, The Book With No Words?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think it's probably for a little bit older, because you're supposed to read it to your kid and it makes you say a bunch of silly goofy stuff and there's no pictures, but it's like all about like the performance of the reader. It's kind of fun. I read it to like
another...
my nephew. It's really fun.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I think that's another good side gig for entertainers is children's books.
Yeah. Like... I think it comes like once they have children, they're just like constantly like doing shit with their kid.
I can do this.
Yeah. What is going to be the career that I shift into that I'm actually successful in? Cause it's, not this one yet.
I got this weird kids book. It's not weird. No, it's weird in the sense it's this kids book, Corduroy, which is this famous kids book from the 60s
about
this
a bear,
corduroy
right?
bear. Yeah. Who lost his button. And, but this particular edition that somebody gave us was like the whole back. I was like, picked it up and was like, oh, it's kind of longer than I was just looking at the thing. It's a little longer than what I remembered corduroy to be. And I was reading it to my son, got to the end. There's still all these pages left. They have all the letters and the back and forth between the author and the editor and stuff. And like letters and like, early versions. And it was like this whole sort of digest of the history of the corduroy. Yeah. It's like the first part is for the kids. And then I guess the back is like for those diehard kids book adult fans, you know,
daddy. Well, what did the editor say about the first draft of chapter one? Well, actually, son, I can answer that.
I can tell you that. Yeah. I'm like, why do you let this into a kid's hand? There's like, you can take out the letters. It's like what? It's an archive, and you're giving this kid the archive of corduroy. But you know, if they're interested in how, you know, the publishing process, you know, goes, then they might like it.
Yeah. And here is, the list of narcotics the author was taking. If you ever wanted to try, what the fuck is this? This isn't for kids.
But then we drove down to Taos, New Mexico, which I'd never been. I'd been to Santa Fe once.
I've never been to New Mexico, period. It's one of the few states that. Because I toured for so long with UCB, I got to go to so many east of the Mississippi states.
Yeah.
And then like there's obviously fewer on the west side, and I've been to a few of those now living in California. And there's New Mexico is one of the few states I have yet to, one of the contiguous 48 that I haven't been to yet.
It's cool. It's like
what made
it's
you go
worth
to Taos?
Checking out.
Is that where Neon Wolf is?
That's in Santa Fe.
Oh, okay.
Wait, is it Neon Wolf? I think you're right. It's something like Neon Wolf or like Yellow Wolf or something like that.
I think Yellow Wolf is from, rapper.
That's the rapper from Alabama. That's right.
Yeah,
I should know that. But yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Something like that. Like Meow Wolf. That's what it is.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to see that band. I've never,
I know. I'd like
cool.
to see that too. It's like this cool, like immersive, like museum
trippy,
type,
like,
you know, experience. Yeah. And I'd been to Santa Fe years ago because I was like a PA on this barbecue with Bobby Flay show where I had to drive Bobby Flay like all around.
The backyard barbecue show?
Basically, yeah. We'd
Is
travel
that the
around
one where
America.
He, like, Bobby Flay had a fucking show where he would like show up to like some poor like Mississippi woman's house and be challenge like, them. I can cook fried chicken better than you. It's like, this is my family recipe.
I'm just trying to feed my family.
Like, I'm a professional chef with millions of years of training and dollars. Let's go. Let's go. What an insane
like,
idea for
out
a show.
Of nowhere. He's been training. It's like a, it's like you know, a boxer. Like,
and he's
coming
like Drago.
You,
he's like white and wealthy and showing up to like a Filipino woman's home is like, I'll show you how to make this rice dish. You're like, easy.
Well,
easy.
It wasn't that one. Okay. It wasn't that. It was a more traditional cooking show when he was kind of just sort of starting out in his early days.
Oh, that's awesome. Weird. Yeah. Very weird PA job.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. It was weird. It was just like, it was like just you're doing every, you're driving Bobby and then you're, you know, running around getting errands and setting, getting crafty and all that shit, making hotel reservations. But anyway, so I'd been to Santa Fe, so I was familiar with the sort of the vibe of that area. And it's kind of like almost like a desert vibe. It's almost like if you've been to like, it reminds me a little bit, this maybe not be a great comparison, but like a little bit like Joshua Tree or something.
Oh, yeah,
in the sense
where it's
of
like
the,
nature forward and kind of like deserty and bohemian or hippie.
Yeah. But a little more green and lush. And then Taos is kind of like that too, but Taos is really close to like the mountains and like skiing, and so skiing is really huge there.
Oh, cool. I guess I assumed New Mexico was completely flat, but that makes sense.
No. Yeah. So if you go to Taos, like a lot of people, you go there for skiing and stuff.
Is that spelled T-A-O-S?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to sound like house or something, but I don't recall the origins of that.
I mean, I'm not the guy to answer that.
But there are these like Pueblo style houses like there that it's like a sort of a mandate, not all over, but in the area we were,
where you can't
every
build
house,
any other style.
Yeah, you can't build
thing,
any other
you know?
Style.
That's and cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And is that something you guys were into, or you were like, if we're someone, a friend lived near there, so you were like, let's go.
So I have this friend who was like my college mentor named Tom Sharonas, who was the director of like most of Seinfeld and News Radio and these shows.
Oh wow! And he went to college with
he you? Went. To, no, he was an alum of Alabama. He's like 78 now or something.
Oh, shit.
And we've just always kept in touch. And, you know, he still, like, I still kind of do, I'm not a mentor, but I kind of, there's like an Alabama alumni program here. I went to University of Alabama. Did I just say that? and thank you for the Roll Tide. And so he came there and taught this production class that me and a buddy wrote the screenplay for to make a short film. It was supposed to be, his idea is like, just I'll executive produce and I'll pick everybody. We'll interview and we'll start picking, you know, everybody will have
and you were
a
just,
role.
And the class was going to be just, let's make a short film. Yeah. Everyone will get a, what do you want to do? You want to write? You want to act in it? We'll figure it out. Yeah, mm-hmm, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
So then he just encouraged me to, I had no direction, and he was like, you should be a writer. You should go to Hollywood. And I was like, okay, sure.
That was cool.
Yeah. And then
Jesus,
so
my phone family hasn't even supported me in that way, no less a stranger.
The first one to approach me with that idea.
Yeah. If anyone would have why wouldn't someone tell you to be a lawyer? Those fucking assholes.
Well, I was like, literally no one told me anything else to do. So I guess I'll do this.
Wow. What a weird to get like, you should be a Hollywood writer. You're like, oh yeah. Okay. I'll go
sure.
Do that.
Yeah. No.
That's
problem.
Like naivete. I can't mm-hmm. even say the word. Being naive is like on your side, where you're like, you know
seems
what?
Doable.
I am going to be a Hollywood writer. Like not having anyone go, what are you thinking?
Like, yeah. Well, I knew there was anything to get me kind of like, I love Alabama, but it was like, I'd been there, you know, I mean, so long and
right,
never,
you live there,
you know,
grew up there and
it's like,
I
was
there.
Had an urge to get away. And so he has a house there, and he, you know, they have this guest house that is bigger than my current house. And we went and stayed there for like 5 days in Taos, and
that's so cool.
It's great. And yeah, there's like, you know, it's like a small little town, you know, and
you got to like catch up with him, like he was there.
Oh yeah, we just watched like football and hang out and drink and, you know, talk shit, and you know, it was great.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it was great for Sonny just to be like my son, just to be like
in the clean air.
Yeah, yeah. To and, not be in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
to
and
be,
see some different environments. Like we have like a little, I brought the little car mirror that you can like kind of see the car seat, you know, like in the van as we were driving around.
You rented the road a van,
trip. Rented saying? A van, minivan.
Oh, that's so
Which
awesome.
Happens to be my favorite like road trip vehicle, but it's also the least expensive because I guess it's got some sort of stigma. People think vans are not cool.
Right, right.
Yeah. They're right, but they're great for purposes of like a family.
There's
vacation.
A reason why families have minivans.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, I get it. You can get almost the same amount of people into an SUV, mm-hmm. but there is a reason minivans are still surviving despite being like wildly hated.
Yeah.
They are function. They are like, my mom,
it's the big box.
We lived out of the minivan because we used to drive from New York to Florida talking vacations. Before my mom was afraid to fly. She flew once to college in Brockport when she was a kid and then didn't fly again until she was like 45 or something like that, until I was 22. So so we drove to Florida for our vacation like every winter break. It would be like,
oh man,
we'd leave at like 4 a.m. and drive in the we had a white minivan called the Egg. It was all white and it had like the sliding doors on both sides. And in hindsight, it was crazy because my dad would take the middle seat out and put sleeping bag. We'd put all our luggage in a turtle top, put sleeping bags on the floor, and we would be able to lay on the floor. And then in hindsight, my dad was driving 70 miles an hour down I-95 his kids sleeping in sleeping bags with no seatbelts on. And the other we were three boys, and the other boy, whoever the smallest was at the time, was my youngest brother, Jason, laying on the fucking back bench. It's like no one's in seatbelts.
Yeah.
We're driving all the way down to like South Carolina, then spending the night there, and then waking up the next morning and driving the rest of the way to Florida.
Oh my God, that's awesome. But that's like, that's an awesome like minivan.
Right, it's the minivan. Well, there's a lot of crazy stories from those trips because there were like seven of those journeys, which is a lot for a family that is loud and like fights all the time. One time my brother slept the entire, like my youngest brother, like no one knows, like everyone's like worried about him. He slept the entire ride. Then we got to the hotel. He slept through the night there. We woke up and he fell back asleep after he ate and slept through to Florida.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's like 36 straight hours of sleep.
Oh man.
You're like, what the fuck, dude?
That's like, I do want to see some of the drive, but that's also like to just wake up and be there.
Yeah. And be like, now I'm rested and I'm in Florida.
Yeah. It's like I've just time traveled.
For one of those trips, I was in 10th grade and I was in AP bio, or was it 9th grade, whatever. I was in bio and the teacher said, over winter break, I want you to keep track of all your meals because we're going to start talking about nutrition when we come back. And I was on vacation driving. And
so you missed that lesson.
I was there on the break. I wrote down everything I ate on the trip. And then when I brought it back, the teacher was like, wait a minute. You realize you have buffalo wings twice a day for 12 days? And it was like, my dad loved wings. And then we got into like, we realized we had wings 4 days in a row. And we were like, should we just have wings at every place? And when we come back, we can compare where our favorites were. And it's not like we're going to wing restaurants. We're eating at like Outbacks and Fridays and shit like that. And it's like, we did that and the teacher was like, you cannot have chicken wings with lunch and dinner every day for 10 days. That's not good for you. Yeah, it laid incorrect groundwork
just,
in my life. Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you commit to just having them at all meals, then maybe there's some sort of simplicity in that diet.
Right, yeah.
That
if you
maybe
just,
is helpful.
I think if I were to have able to have just one food in every meal, I think it could be chicken wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the one I can handle. I love fucking. I fucking love wings. So like a visceral response to food. I'm so gross.
I love the drumsticks.
Drums, not flats for you.
Drums, not flats for me.
Yeah, my wife, Tiff, is a big
flathead. I'll have
flat
a flat. Yeah. If it's like that's the last one and nobody's
Yeah, you
take
always
it.
Take the last one. That's why people like you. I'll eat the last one. Everyone's like, cool, thanks. It's a flat.
Before,
I hate this.
Before the wings get here, I'll eat the last one, okay? Just so we don't have that awkwardness.
Even if you leave me a flat last, I'll take it. But flats are my favorite. I'll eat the last one.
I'll eat it.
There's nothing to worry about here. What other cool shit did you do in Taos? How long was this whole trip? And it was mostly like
it was
very
like
low
10
key,
days.
Right?
It was 10 days.
It was very molasses paced, you would say?
Yeah. It's, well, it is molasses paced in the sense that I want to leave options open for us to stop along the way. And we had to anyway because we have
we have this, you know, a 6-month-old who's gonna, who you gotta stop every couple hours to change that diaper.
Right.
Or,
yeah,
you
or
know,
feed,
him or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Although we did a little bit of the more, you know, dangerous, like oh, we got to breastfeed while we roll here,
like
you know, like
in the
way
in the
back.
Back.
Yeah. It, well, only once. And I felt it was not my best moment as a dad, but we were like a bit in a hurry at that point. But in Taos, we were there for probably like 5 days. The whole thing was 10 days. And so like 4 nights or something, I think. And they have the big like thing that you, there's Taos Gorge, which is like kind of like a mini Grand Canyon.
Are you like an outdoorsy type person or in that?
I love camping and I like, you know, like hiking and stuff. I mean, I'm not like a severe, I would like to do like a real like backwoods, like hiking down into a canyon and camp, you know, with like low equipment and stuff. But car camping is like super fun and just efficient. You can have all the stuff, but be outside, you know?
Right, right, right.
And I look forward to getting to do that again. That was like my bachelor trip
cool.
was camping out in Wheeler Gorge up in Ojai.
Oh, cool. But, and is that like that? And when you say car camping, you mean like you load your car up and you just like sleep next to it or?
Yeah, you just have it there. You know, it's just nearby.
Yeah,
you know,
you're not like hiking into
a
place.
You have a tent and stuff, but you got your car, you know, you can have like, you know, you can put the cooler in the car when you go to sleep at night.
Right,
so that
it's less
a
scary.
Bear doesn't come.
You can charge your phone so you can Instagram all night.
Yeah, yeah. So I can make sure to let everybody know I'm camping and keep tabs.
Unplugged. Given the peace sign.
It's so good to just unplug and be in nature. But
here's the difference between us. For my bachelor party, I went to Oktoberfest in Munich.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome.
It was pretty awesome. If you like beer, if you like, not even just like beer, if you can handle drinking a shit ton of beer every day for 4 days, it's highly recommended.
Ooh.
But if you're like, beer doesn't appeal to you that much, I can't imagine Oktoberfest is that exciting.
I like, love beer. I just try to be mindful of not like overdoing it.
Right.
Like just and not purely just because I'm like, I have such a gut that I'm like, I have to be mindful of.
Right. But a 4 day
I
vacation
would just drink
can
it all day.
If you went for the purposes of drinking beer, you could allow your gut to cut loose a little bit.
Well,
we bought like 200. We bought like official leather lederhosen that was like 200 euros. And I was like, me and five friends are all in like legit like lederhosen. It felt fucking awesome.
Well, we drove up to the. It wasn't snowing yet, but it was getting cold, and it was like that was one of the neat things is that the leaves are changing.
Yeah.
And higher
do
altitudes,
a little leaf peeping.
Do some leaf peeps and higher altitudes. Leaves change faster, which I didn't know. So we were driving up like the ski mountain, you know, nearby, and there was actually this restaurant called the Bavarian, which is like this German like lederhosen, like all the waiters and waitresses are wearing lederhosen and everything. And I was driving the van and everybody else, I was like looking at this beer, like a big like
like
beer
a stein
thing,
yeah.
And I was like, huh? And they were like, no, we just drove up like a 20-minute like steep like gravelly windy right. woods road. You're not gonna drink here
a
and then
liter
drive
of beer
all
and
back
then
down.
Surf us toboggan back down.
Yeah, that was a great place, and worth the trek up there. I would love to go back for skiing, even though I've never skied before.
Yeah, I'm not a skier. I don't really love the winter sports. I have no qualms about drinking by a fire. I like that.
Man,
yeah,
that's the best.
Yeah, we did a ski trip in college, and I just was like on a hill tubing with a bunch of kids the whole time. Like, all my buds like come down. They're like, "All right, Gabers, where's Gabers?" And it's like I'm in like pajama pants and like a t-shirt shooting down on a fucking snow tube. Everyone else around me is like 12 years old, 25, 21 or whatever. I remember from this ski trip, this is a random story, but we were playing Kings or Circle of Death. You ever play that drinking game where or King's Cup, it's called. You put a deck of cards around one big glass, and each card you pull is something different. Like if it's a black 2, you drink for 2 seconds. If it's a red 2, you tell someone else to drink for 2 seconds. And then the other thing is, the first three kings pour a little bit of booze into the middle thing, and then the fourth king you pull, you have to drink the big cup. And we were using like this glass bowl, and we were smoking. We were in a smoking room because like half of my college roommates smoked. I wasn't smoking, but we're smoking cigs, drinking beer. It's disgusting. We're all in like our underwear, and we're blasting music, and then we get a knock on the door, and it's security. And it's like, security. We open the door, and it's like a smoke-filled room with a giant like crystal bowl of beer on the table.
Oh my God.
And like we're all looking like fucking disgust, and they were like mostly just pitied us. We're like, oh, okay, we thought there would be like a lot of people or something gross happening here, and it's five sweaty dudes. Okay, have a good night. Like, shut the door. We were like so gross that even security was like, let's just let this ride. Well, we didn't get in trouble because like, we were so too gross. Like,
security's like, I didn't sign on for this nasty shit.
Good. Okay, you're all of age. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Well, the other cool thing about Taos, historically, there's this like World Heritage Foundation site that's like, you know, like other sites include like the Great Wall of China and like the big wonders of the world or whatever. This is like this area called Taos Pueblo, which is like one of the oldest still surviving, still in use Native American like reservations in America. They've been generations after generations for 1,000 years. The same families that originated there
are still living
there. There's like still like a 150 people that still live on the Pueblo. And then if you don't live on the Pueblo but you have like a Pueblo there, you know they just live like outside in a regular house with like electricity and stuff,
right?
And then they come in and then they sell like, you know, art and
So you get to like go through that and visit awesome.
Yeah, so that was cool. And you know, so when we left, we went about an hour west of Taos to this. We went to one of those like mineral hot spring type of resorts.
Oh, I love that shit. Love that.
Well, this place called Ojo Caliente, and if you've never been to New Mexico,
Hot Eye,
yeah. And if you've never been to New Mexico, then and you like that stuff, then you guys should go there because. Yeah. I've never been to a place like this.
It smells like farts though, right?
Because
the sulfur usually makes it smell a lot like.
It didn't seem like it smelled like farts, but it was one of those things where it somehow it was like it was. I guess I just pictured like indoor spas where it's all these like sweaty fat guys, you know.
Right.
Is like outdoors, so somehow that made it more acceptable, and I guess that maybe lets the smell out.
it hides it a little bit. Yeah.
But they had like an arsenic pool, which I was like, arsenic, but I guess it's like little trace amounts are
you
maybe
just drink
good.
A lot of it. It was really fun.
A lot of like dudes floating in that pool.
I let my 6-month-old son swim around in the arsenic pool.
You know, they had that was a thing. They were like if your kid is under, I don't know, 5 or something, like he can only get in the main pool or
whatever.
Right,
you don't want a kid hanging out in hot water too, because they won't know when they're overheating.
It's not good.
Like, oh, I'm getting a little lightheaded. I'm sorry, you shouldn't have your son in the arsenic pool, and also, can you take that glass of red wine away from him? Sonny's like, ooh, I'm getting a little tired. I don't know about you guys.
But they have like 6 or 7 pools that you can just kind of dip into.
Oh, that's
awesome.
And,
you know, it's like open till 10 o'clock at night, so you can be there under the stars, like in a little, you know, hot tub, or go to the warm pool. You know, it's all warm and stuff.
Oh,
so
that's great.
It's kind of the best when it's like getting like it's a little chilly out.
Oh, I love it. Like, I went into one in Montana when there was like snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And I would jump out of the hot spring, go like dive into a pile of snow in my Speedo, and then race back and dive into the pool. It was so fucking fun.
Yeah. And so, you know, that
Ojo
that was
Caliente.
Ojo Caliente. It's like, I don't know, this hotel that's like 100 years old feels kind of haunted.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, that's the kind of shit I need to know about, stuff that I could like afford to fly to and stay, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, it's very affordable too. Like,
well, it's just like the vacations my wife and I were planning to go away for Christmas this year. First one, in-laws and my family and her family are going to be not so excited about that.
Wait.
Yeah. Oh, we're skipping Christmas, yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
I know, we're super excited.
You're going to have so much fun.
And we're like looking at trips and like, because we want to have kids, you can't go to any of these places that have Zika, which is like pretty much every tropical place.
Oh, shit.
So we're
right.
Like, where the fuck can we go? And we're like, maybe Australia, Japan, go to
Hawaii,
Europe,
or something.
Yeah, Hawaii. Or, well, that's what we're wondering.
Or Europe, yeah.
What's
Europe.
Hawaii like in December? Is it cool? Is it like?
I guess I don't know.
All right, I'm going to be honest. You caught me. I said Hawaii. No idea what it is.
You know, we went to a baby moon in Hawaii. We took our baby moon to Hawaii. That was our last trip, like, before we had
the kid.
Yeah,
that's a thing you do before you're in your third trimester and can't fly, or
right.
0 to 6 months old when you can't do anything with the kid.
Yeah.
And 6 months is early to take a kid on a flight, right? Or, and not early, but like bold, like you're brave.
That's everybody, literally everyone is like, well, no, I think it's like, this is the window to do it when you can kind of control them and stuff before they're walking.
Like, he's going to cry or he's not going to cry. Yeah.
Dude did not cry. I mean, it was only a 2-hour flight, by the way, but he didn't cry. He was pretty chill. The thing you're supposed to do is like, or that Stacy had read about was like, we're breastfeeding. So it's like, if you can feed him or breastfeed him, like during takeoff and landing, then that'll alleviate any of the pressure.
He'll be like making the swallowing that would help his ears pop or whatever.
Yeah. Cause that's really what's going to make him freak out, is like when he can't understand why his head, his ears are exploding.
Feels like it's crushing. Yeah. Right. Cause that's when the kids start to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So all you have to do is stand up in the aisle and breastfeed.
No, she didn't have to. It just depends on what your kid. Yeah, she didn't have to, but she got on the plane. You get to get on first when you have a kid, right. And then she just whipped her top off right there.
She's like, "Deal with it, boys.
Free the nipple."
I'm tired of being fat and broke and going and ordering so much takeout and eating it in the dark. I'm so upset with all that stuff. So that's why I'm so pumped to have joined HelloFresh, guys. We're talking, it's like less than $10 a meal. That's for real. It's one of the classic like delivery service, you know, where you can actually do the cooking, you can keep your eye on the meal the entire way. Everything takes around 30 minutes. Look, I can do it, and I am not good in the kitchen. I'm okay. I know what things are called, but I'm very much better at eating. But with HelloFresh, I'm banging out meals. You can get a classic box, a veggie box, and a family box. Those are sort of inappropriately phrased, I like. 3, 4, 5 different meals per week, 2 or 4 people, new recipes created every week. It's all fresh ingredients, exact quantities. That's the big thing for me is food waste, because we're constantly like, oh shit, 2 of the tomatoes went bad, we gotta toss them. Oh man, this thing of broccoli rabe, we actually never didn't get around to cooking it because we worked late, we gotta toss it. And that's the shit that breaks my heart. So with HelloFresh, I get to keep it like, you get delivered right to your doorstep in a recyclable insulated box for free. It's light meals, breakfast. HelloFresh is doing it right. I highly recommend you guys do it. Like, now that I'm doing HelloFresh, I feel like, oh shoot, this is sustainable. I can do a couple of these a week, you know, just to keep things open for possible dinners and for random ordering. But a couple of nights a week, just lightening the load of food shopping and just taking the decision factor out of it. I don't want to sound like some sort of robot, but rather than having to choose ingredients, it just makes it easier. So you get individual boxes organizing each meal. It's 30 minutes. It's super easy. So do me a favor. Go to HelloFresh and your promo code is Mighty30. That gives you $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com and enter promo code Mighty30. Do it. Come on out. That's the kind of stuff I want to hear about. Like, oh, there's a dope hot spa place in New Mexico where if you flew to New Mexico, it's not an insane flight. You can rent a car. You can drive there. You can get crazy.
I can't recommend it enough. Two nights there was great. You know, it was like, I don't know what else I would have done there, because there's nothing around it. There's nothing. It's in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing there. But that was a great. I'm so glad we visited that. Hawaii isn't it? Have you ever been to Hawaii? Or
no, I haven't. And that's where I want to live for the rest of my life.
I know. I do.
I don't
too
know
now.
Anything about it, and I just want to live there.
I'm very under traveled, which is weird that this is what I picked as my topic. But
same
I'm passionate about it.
That's what I. That's right. Before we talk about Hawaii, let's talk about this real quick. Why did we both glom on to vacation and travel, even though we're not, because that's like the thing you dream of doing with your time. Like, yeah, all me and Tiff talk about is like me getting successful, yeah, enough that it's like, I have a month off this summer during, right, hiatus, and I'm wealthy because I'm working in television.
Right.
Let's go do this. Yeah. Let's go to England for 1 month. Like, we, right, dream of like this weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never learned, and I think in general, if I would get on my soapbox for a minute, I don't feel like people are taught the value of traveling, you know, yes, like in America, it's very, especially now we're
even
all this nationalistic
America,
vibe.
At minimum, yeah.
Yeah. Just even going to other states. Cause obviously we're so different. Like, just, I feel like it should be like the draft or something, or some sort of mandatory thing that when you're,
right,
18,
you,
like you have to go some, you have to go,
there should
to the
be some sort
of
like
of
there should be some
at,
sort of like in between high school and college, like gap year program where you like work on a mountain in Denver. Like, if you live in the East Coast, you work on a mountain in Denver for a summer, and
right,
you like learn some shit, and you live somewhere else, and you, mm-hmm, get ready for college. Cause, well, I think we just fucking cracked the case as to why we're both. You were saying like you never really left Alabama until you,
yeah,
right?
Right.
I only drove from New York to Florida until I was 20 something years old. So like we didn't have to travel growing,
yeah,
up. And, yeah, I think that's why now you're like, I don't feel well traveled, but I want to travel so badly, you know?
Right, right. I'm constantly like looking at like,
this always works out perfectly that I'm always recording when like the recycling truck is breaking glass outside my window.
Well, it's good to know that, you know, the things, the mechanisms in our society are,
it's
out
moving,
there,
yeah. That's all we got to know.
It's
keeping,
that's life. That's life. You know, somebody who just traveled here would be fascinated by that.
Oh, yeah. Welcome
truck
to Los Angeles. This is a recycling truck. Those guys are podcasting. You can tell that they're comedians because they're white in Hawaiian shirts and talking into microphones.
Yeah, they don't have recycling. Where I'm from, they don't have recycling. Like they have it. Like, you have to go take
it's
all
so
your shit.
It's so weird how inconvenient recycling is in,
yeah,
some towns where, like, my in-laws, like, my brother-in-law is just like, just throw it all in the garbage. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, it's too annoying. I'm like, all right. Then,
yeah,
I think the government or the like local needs to make it easier. Because it's,
yeah,
really not hard to recycle here or in New York City where I,
right,
yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. There's that,
sorry.
Yeah. No, I don't know where we're, but I do think that you learn a certain amount of empathy that, you know, you can't learn any other way unless you have multicultural family members or something like,
right,
that.
Or just going somewhere where you don't know exactly where you're going all the time. It's like a weird,
yeah,
it's a weird level of like we're talking about maybe going to Barcelona and we've never
great
been to Barcelona. We're like, I wonder if it's cool to go in the winter. We're thinking about staying in Airbnb and I'm like, I'm worried that like we won't know how to communicate with anyone. But I'm like, but that's also,
no,
part of the fun, right? And it's like,
well, yeah, as long as you show anywhere, as long as you, that again, I'm under travel, but as long this was true in, yeah, you show an attempt to speak their language. That's their, I think that goes a long way, that,
right,
you know, with everybody.
Yeah,
so
Tiff and I went to Paris for like 4 days and we didn't experience any of the French bullshit
the
that everyone talked,
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in my head, I was like, people are like, the French hate Americans. And then in my head, I pictured the type of Americans they might hate. And it's like,
yeah,
it's probably not the people who are like trying to speak French and like curious about what should we order here? I feel like it's the people like smashing cans of Pepsi, you know, and,
yeah,
like smoking, like, yeah, you're like, oh, those are the Americans maybe that are,
right,
rude. Yeah.
Yeah. We did London, Paris, Barcelona over Christmas a couple of Christmases ago.
And you thought Barcelona was fun around Christmas time?
Oh, it's great. It's really beautiful at Christmas because London really didn't turn it on. I thought, okay, London, we're in the it's like Dickensian.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
just going to be,
it's
like,
still just too metropolitan of a city.
Yeah,
to really
they just
get
don't. They don't really show up for or decorate. Like, I love, you
even
know,
New York City,
like,
turns out for Christmas.
Oh,
yeah,
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 yeah. Paris was great. I mean, I had a great time in London, but it was just like not what I thought, like sort of what I envisioned my,
yeah,
fantasy of it in Christmas was. Paris was beautiful. Barcelona really turns it up for Christmas because they also continue to celebrate way after like New Year's because it's like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like King's Day or something like that.
So they have like a week and a half long party or something?
They're partying like all through, like we were there till like New Year's, and they're just keep on going because it's not done yet. Like this, the celebration continues. I was like, oh my God, I wish I, this is where I slipped up, because generally I like to attack a vacation. Like I like to know what all's going on, like, yeah, so that I don't miss anything, and like, but still leave a little room for something to come up.
Yeah, I'm not like a good planner, like, but I like around to know a bunch of stuff and be like, hey, maybe today's the day we go to that restaurant we read about, or maybe today's the day we go to that underground cave thing that we read about.
I'll map that shit out on Google Maps and go, oh, the cave is next to the restaurant, which is next to this thing, which people seem to like, and we can string that all together, you know, like,
my big thing is
trying
to learn the public transit wherever we go. It's like, just being from New York for so long, I'm like, we went to Paris and we were like, oh, let's go to Jim Morrison's grave. Let's go to that cemetery. My Tiff loves cemeteries. And I was like, oh, that'd be a fun trip. And then she's like, should we just take a cab or an Uber? Because now Uber makes everything easy. And I was like, no, hold on. And I like looked at the subway map and like stared at it. And I was like, okay, I think I know what to do. And we just fucking did it in public transit and felt amazing. I was like, oh no, let's keep going. Stay, like, we went to try to go to Moulin Rouge too, just to see it. Wow. And we were like, this is kind of awful. I was like, but wait, look at the subway ride back. It was above ground and it was beautiful. I was like, oh, this is so cool.
See, that's a strength of someone who spent so much time in New York. I mean, you know, because I feel like if I was a kid in New York, I would have my brain would, I would be using more, I would have access to more parts of my brain because of the subway system alone. Right.
Yeah. It is something like weird to like, but then again, you come here and I don't know my way around, but everyone's like, oh no, you could skip the 101. Yeah. The 101 joins at the 10 at the perfect, you got it. And I'm like, that's me talking about the F train transfer at West 4th for me, you know?
I know. Maybe it's because you're able to, when you're on the train, you're able to sort of passively absorb things as opposed to like just getting through it yourself, like being in control of the
car, and you want to talk about being amongst people, like especially in a foreign country. It's like just being on a Paris train station where people are just, I don't know what anyone is saying around me, and I'm just like like riding along.
This was one of the funniest things about Barcelona to me, was around Christmas time you'll start seeing all these little figurines of a guy taking a shit. He's called the shitter, I think, or the pooper, it translates to. And this
you're selling me
thing
on a Barcelona trip.
And it's this guy who you'll see him. They'll have like all these manger scenes there. They're like really into that, and as a decorative kind of thing. And they'll have this vast manger scene. And then there'll be like a little guy outside of the stable where Jesus is born, and he's taking a shit. And you're like, what the fuck is this? And it's this thing that's like a tradition there. They have this like the shitter. I don't know what to tell you about it.
If you were so wrong. Like people from Barcelona are like, what the fuck is he talking
you
about? Like
up,
you
man.
Misremembered something completely.
The pooper Barcelona, man, that's there.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's just it's like this you know, I think I get ornaments. Like I like to get a Christmas tree ornament wherever I go. I didn't get the shitter. I should have got the goddamn shitter. I don't know what it was. That
if I do Barcelona for Christmas, I promise you, you'll
please
get
bring
a
me a shitter.
Yes. I'm like, Tiff, I need to get a gift for Alan. She's like, who's Alan? I'm like, you know, you're the worst. The guy that creeps you out.
The guy that you hate. You and everyone else hates on. You're the worst. Yeah.
She's always
guy.
Like, oh, he skews me. I'm like, he's literally the nicest human being I know. He's like the most gentle person I've ever met. And she's like, I don't know, this character is creepy.
No, I open my mouth on that show and people, like, you know, are just like, I hate Paul.
It's so great.
But I like that. Like, it's fun.
I'm not caught up on this season, but I know you just came back. The first couple episodes you haven't been in, but I'm excited.
Yeah. I kind of come back midway through.
Penis cages this year? A spoiler alert?
No, thank God. No.
Thank God.
Jeez.
Well, I heard you on Doughboys say like, and you know, sometimes I'm trying to be a little healthier when I know I have to shoot a nude scene. I'm like, I just know what your nude scenes are. Yeah. It's like, it's not even like you get a chance to be sexy. You're like, I just don't want to be fat and creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the, I mean, that's been the only motivating factor that actually works when I want to knock off 15, 20 pounds is having a little bit of a heads up that I've got to be butt ass naked on You're the Worst right
yeah.
now.
That's why, because I was just saying to Tiff the other day, I was like, I really think if I lost weight, it could help my career, because like, fat guys aren't like blowing up anymore. That's not like a big character.
They're blowing up.
They're dying left and right. But fat guys aren't really like, there's not always a fat guy in shows anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like fat guy, I think fat used to be what Hollywood considered diverse. You know what I mean? Like, look, we'll get one non-skinny person, and that'll be our diversity. Now it's like, oh, we should actually have POCs and women and LGBT people, and not just a fat guy. So I think
we have a fat guy for one episode, and his storyline is being fat.
Right, exactly. And it's like, so I'm like, maybe I have to get jacked. And then, like, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, if I actually finally get in shape for my career, it'll be the most humiliating thing, because it's like, it took more than my wanting to be healthy for my wife, my doctor requesting that I lose weight, like all these things in my life that have told me like I need to get in shape. And now I'm like, but what if I could make more money? Oh, of course, that's the thing that I'm such a fucking hound for success.
Yeah, I do think you know, the other thing, the other factor was when we decided we did want to have a kid, it was like that did motivate me a little bit more, you know, because I was like, maybe it's me that's like, you know, because it took like, I don't know, like a year and a half once we kind of were like, okay, let's do this. Let's raw dog, baby.
Yeah. Once the goalie's been pulled and you're doing direct deposits. Like,
why is this not working? But yeah, like just kind of making that a little bit more of a routine it didn't hurt anyway.
Right.
I don't know. We never found out or studied it. Yeah.
Having more sex did not hurt my physical fitness. Right. But so the other thing too, it's like, you know, a kid's coming, you know, it's going to be stressful and tiring.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you don't want to roll in already. Cause like sometimes I was shooting something. And I like had to run like three times in one scene. And I was like, and like, you know, I right, cut, run, let's do it again. Like back to one, times. quick. And I'm like, fuck, I'm like gassed. And this is so minimal, but this is my job. And I'm unable to, I'm like, what if I'm chasing a 1 year old as he like walks down? Right. I'm like, oh, I can't be like, my hamstrings hurt. I can't carry my son. Like, so like wanting to have kids has made me be like, I think I,
it's like, you know, it's like, maybe I can be like, you know, on a cop show one day and I can be chasing a perp and stuff. I need to be in shape so that I can do the take a few times.
And it's crazy when you meet like young actors, like people who aren't coming directly from comedy into acting, you know, like when you meet any actors that their physical appearance and the way they take care of themselves physically is so wildly different than comedians.
Yeah.
Like every comedian I know is like, we just came up going like, well, yeah, there was like a decade when I stayed out till 4 a.m. every night drinking. And now I'm like trying to undo that because I'm in my mid-30s and I'm stressed. Yeah. You meet like these 25-year-old actors who are like, yes, I take 5 different types of martial arts.
Oh,
I have a nutritionist. I have this, I have that. And I'm like, oh, you look young and healthy. Like,
yeah.
I look punchline-esque. But it is one of those things where it's like, oh, that's the right move. Your body is your instrument. You should be able to do anything. It's like, you can always put on weight if that's the role requires it. But it's like, no one's going to cast me the lead in SEAL team on CBS.
Right.
The job I want. Like, I want to play a fucking copper military.
That's what I envision myself as.
And then it's like, well, what about the 300? I said one time to my friend Adam Pally, I was like, dude, I want so badly to get a job where I have to like go to boot camp for 12 weeks get paid to train and get in shape. And he was like, yeah, I mean, that might be the only thing that keeps you to live past 50. I was like, shit. And now I've been waiting around for that gig to land in my lap. Hasn't happened.
If there's like, maybe some sort of, you know, show where we just got to generate this ourselves, like figure out like all the SEALs are dead.
Yeah.
And all we have is like some fat guys that really want to be SEALs.
And it's like, it's all we had. It's the only chance we have.
That's the premise of the show.
I truly wrote a pilot for Fox. I sold a pilot to Fox. That was the the log line is fat Jason Bourne, more or less. It's like a dude realizes that he was an agent, like he like finds out about his
like
other self,
agent.
But it's been like 15 years and he's like a super fat like guy who owns a bar in like Venice. And it's like all of a sudden he has superpowers. I was like, yes, this is going to be the thing that I get to finally shoot a gun or like, and I'm like writing it with someone and I'm like, in this scene, I should have to like fucking get break a dude's neck and then try to kiss like the Russian agent. They were like, all right, all right. All right. I was like, okay, I clearly, this is a little transparent.
Just ticking up all the boxes. Yeah.
I'm like, I shoot a machine, a close up of me shooting a machine gun and I'm like all oiled up.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, right, it's like, that's the people have that, I guess us included, have that unrealistic idea. And you have that guy, what's that Instagram dude, that fucking Blazarian guy?
Oh, Dan Bilzerian.
It's like that's how he
like,
don't
lives
you think he must be a very sad person? Like,
oh,
in reality,
he undoubtedly is. I mean, he's also like legendarily a scumbag. Like, he made all his money playing poker, but apparently his dad like financed all of his tournaments for a while. Ugh. He was like discharged from the military, like he didn't make it through
like he
boot camp.
I know he was like did SEAL training,
right?
Which,
right,
that's not what you usually like.
Yeah,
you don't talk about the training that you did.
Yeah, I've done EMT training.
are you an EMT?
No,
I just kind of like got bored with it.
Yeah, what did the training means? You have $1 million and you're like doing the shit like actors do when they prepare for roles. Yeah. And then he also like threw a woman off of a roof.
Oh, right.
To try to
like
throw
her
in the pool and
miss or something. Yeah,
she broke her leg.
Right, as strong as he looks anyway.
Cocksucker.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Dan Bilzerian, you hear us?
Yeah,
me and Molasses Dan. Boy.
Yeah.
Molasses Boy and Fuck Boy versus the
fuck
fucking
Boy, Molasses Boy, 2-on-1, baby.
And we get our asses handed to us immediately.
By his, like, all his girlfriends.
Yeah, a group of, like, busty gold diggers beat the shit out of us.
But he gets to travel, that's for sure.
Fuck,
ooh, wow.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, well, like, that's the dream, right? Like, when you, like, you fucking, I want to shoot a movie that shoots like overseas for a little bit.
A travel,
you
know, job is the best.
Yeah, that's all I want is to like get to see the world on like while I'm making money.
Can I tell you a quick story about Hawaii?
Let's back it up to Hawaii. Yeah,
because if you haven't been there,
I'm dying to go there. Yeah.
I've only been to one. I've been to the Big Island and that's it. But now I'd like to visit every island 100 more times for the rest of my life because it's the same as a trip to New York. It's a 5-hour flight from here. We don't even think about that. I've been here for a decade and I only just now went to Hawaii, which I can't believe.
I've never been to Hawaii. I've
always
been here for 5 years now. And I love the beach. I love surfing. I love everything about, like, I love Hawaii on paper so much and I've never been there.
It's so doable. It's so doable and it's amazing.
Like, one time someone's like, well, if you didn't live in LA, where would you live? Like, if you could live anywhere you want. I was like, Hawaii. And they're like, oh, where? I'm like, I actually don't know any of the parts of Hawaii. I just know I want to live there. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, I'm envisioning a future for myself that I don't know if that truly exists.
Well, Hawaii seems to, in my estimation, again, this is not a very, you know, thorough investigation of Hawaii, but it's like known as a healing place. So you have a lot of people, like everyone I encountered there had a story of some tragedy almost, or health problems or something. Not everybody, but most of the people that on the mainland that came out there for its healing qualities, or just because they were sort of lost and, you know, other than the native Hawaiians who were like, stop coming out here.
Hey, I'm all nice. Fucked up. Can I live with you? Oh, fine.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I got kicked in the head by a horse. Can I stay here on your beach? Sure.
You're going to do it anyway. You guys have been doing it for forever. But
at least we won't force Catholicism upon you.
Yeah, we'll force Catholicism and then they'll be like the most Catholic. They're like the most Catholic people you can encounter in Hawaii. But on the Big Island, like we stayed at like 3 different Airbnbs across the southern coast of it just to kind of get a vibe for different areas. And on that island anyway, unless you're staying in like just shuttling to a hotel from the airport, you got to have a car and drive around and stuff. So I got the exact same car. I didn't get the van this time. I got the exact same. We didn't have a kid that time, but we got the car that I have here.
Like, you're like, oh, we're on vacation, like, let's rent a Toyota Prius.
Yeah, I was like, Because it seemed like, again, in my research, it seemed like it was the thing you think about getting is like a convertible or a Jeep or something. And then, but I was reading that it's a little, I don't know, insulting to the locals to just kind of go there and just think it's all about just top down,
right, you know, right.
Sunshine, for whatever reason. And it's not like you're going to be in a situation where you need four wheel drive. They right. have roads.
Right. You're like living off, you're like putting on an affectation if you get a Jeep Wrangler right now. And that's exactly in my head what I want to do. So yeah, I'm glad you said something. I'll be the first guy. It's like, I haven't put shirt or shoes on all week. And they're like, please do.
I think if you live there, it makes total sense, you know, but if you're passing through, it's certainly not.
You don't want to be the Howley who's like, fucking, hang loose, brah.
Yeah. There is no illusion that I'm not from here and, you know, don't necessarily belong. But we stayed at this one place that was on this coffee farm in the Captain Cook area.
Oh, cool.
Which is like south of the Kona airport. And I'd read about Captain Cook, which he was like one of the first explorers, European explorers, to set foot on Hawaii, if not the first. And we were near this bay called Kealakekua Bay. And so we were like, I had these new like masks, this new snorkel mask, because I love snorkeling.
Okay. I'm glad you said snorkel right after. You just like, I had this new mask. I was like, what the fuck are you doing on vacation?
Yeah, just this leather like zipper thing.
So Stacy was so excited for me to wear my new mask on vacation.
Yeah.
Do you know Guy Fawkes, like the anonymous mask?
So, you know, I just got a new mask. I finally updated that mask, you know?
You got a new scuba mask.
No, I got a new mask because it was like snorkeling. Like it's this full, it's instead of just your eyes, half your face, it's your whole thing. And you look like a snork.
Like the snorkel comes out the top of your...
comes out the top and you are not constantly fogging up your goggles because there's all this area where you can just breathe and you're not biting down on the snorkel and like getting your jaw all fucked up, and tight. It's awesome. I forget what they're called.
I love snorkeling. I've done it like everywhere.
It's my favorite thing. And so we were like, we're going to go snorkel at Kealakekua Bay. Let's go. And then we were like, oh, there's no parking. And then this local named Earl comes up to the car our first morning there. And he's like, hey, you can park over here. See where it says no parking. I'm like, oh no, it says no parking, Earl. Like over there. He's like, no, it's fine. I know the neighbor there. I was like, okay, are we being grifted or something? He's like, it's okay. You can go there. And if you want to go out to the, I'd read about Captain Cook that it was the monument. There's this monument in the bay that I could see from our place we were staying. I was like, whoa, it's right there. But I'd read that you can't get to it unless you take one of those little boats out to it or you hike 2 miles down, which we couldn't do that because Stacy was like, you know,
it was baby mode.
Baby mode. Yeah. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to get to see that monument. He's like, hey, if you want to canoe out to the monument, you can take my my kayak out there. You can take my kayak. And and all of a sudden I was like, this seems too good to be true. We can park in the no parking area because he knows somebody that owns the lot and all stuff. So I was like, can you just like, you know, but basically we had him prove to us that it was all cool and it wasn't too shady, even though it still felt shady. We were really like worried and nervous about it, like kind of embracing this guy, the stranger who we right. hadn't met. And so we finally said, all right, okay, cool. We'll try it. So I thought that meant he was going to like take us out there, but that just meant you can use my kayak or whatever. So we get in the kayak, he kind of pushes us out there. And like 20 minutes ago, we thought we were just going to like snorkel around off the beach or something. Now we're kayaking across this mile and a half bay. So we're out there and it is beautiful. It's like this big mountainside next to you. And it in the middle of it, these dolphins started flying out of the water just around us, just leaping around like they were surrounding the kayak.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're like, this is great. This is amazing. And then this lady, like hippie lady, like you can just float on the water without floaties because the salt water there, it's so dense. And she's just like backstroking by the canoe, like swimming after the dolphins, you know? She's like, isn't this amazing? We're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
It's truly like magical.
Yeah. And then we're flying out, we're kayaking out there to the monument, and there it is. And I'm so excited because I like the history stuff, whatever, you know, like this and this, like we actually get to see the up close, see the monument. This is amazing. And we, we got a little too caught up in that and realized we were sort of drifting into like the like briary trees and stuff. And I like suddenly like lost my prescription sunglasses because I got smacked in the face with this branch. And it was just like, I hadn't undone my snorkel stuff from the packages yet. So I was like, couldn't paddle and get my flippers out and shit. Yeah. I was going to go down. Yeah. I was going to go. But then they were two in like a shallow coral area. I was like, okay, let's just recalibrate here. This is supposed to be relaxed, serene. Yeah. Kayaking away. We're both freaking out a little bit. I'm gonna just give those sunglasses up to the god of the bay.
Yeah.
So we're out there for like a couple hours. We get back. To the
car
to
is
the
stripped shore. To the
yeah that's what I thought. I was like
guarantee our car's on blocks,
like,
our
car is not gonna be there, like all our shit is gone, this is our first day, this is gonna be horrible. But that was really like that for us, like, you know, like, okay, look, there's no one, you can, it's safe to assume no one's out to murder us and steal all our shit, right? You know, and like just to kind of accept it and go with the flow. And I knew,
and
a
God
little bit
help
about,
us, our rental car gets stolen. It's like the least worst problem you can have on.
Because I was already thinking about the drama that had happened in this bay. Historically, like Captain Cook was like an invader who came there, but the natives welcomed him. And actually, Eugene Cordero plays the king of like this Hawaiian island in the drunk history.
Because you did the drunk history on this one.
I didn't do the drunk history on this one. I just was fascinated with the story because it was like he came there. They welcomed them. The natives were like, "Oh, this is a god. Like these are gods coming to our land." And they thought that Captain Cook was the god of fertility, and so they let all the guys, all his men, fuck all the the women there, and they just went nuts and just were terrible. And then they one of the guys died. One of the sailors like dropped dead one day, probably from some, I don't know, disease or something. And then the natives realized, oh, these guys aren't gods. What the fuck?
And they're and like, jigs up, boys. Yeah. Get in the
Captain
kayaks.
Cook and his guys are like, all right, well, we should probably go anyway. We should probably keep moving on. And then, but a storm brought them back. And then they just like went ballistic, the king and everybody just like murdered them all there. And that's why I should have said this earlier. That's why the monument is there to Captain
Cook.
Oh,
they tried to leave because they were like, you're not gods. You lied to us. You fucked us.
Yeah.
And then when they're trying to leave, the storm blows
them
back
in. The storm blew back and they were like, all right, it's on.
And then they just took out Cook and his family.
Yeah, yeah.
Cook and his people. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Cook and all his sailors. And so I knew about that. But then we got back and the guy that was at the coffee place was like, so you went to Kealakekua Bay? Like we were like, yeah. And we took a kayak across. He's like, oh, that's technically like illegal for you to take an unguided trip, but you know what? You should just do it anyway. It's fine. You know, we're like, okay, great. And then he was like, you know, there's like a spiritual, like the aspect of Kealakekua Bay that you may not know. And it's a known as like a healing place for mothers and stuff because of, you know, that was where the sort of the god of fertility was supposed to reside. And we're like, oh wow, I didn't know that.
And you have your pregnant wife.
And I have my pregnant wife there. And he's like, also, you know, they say dolphins can like tell if you're pregnant and stuff like that. And we had that crazy experience with the dolphins, you know?
Oh, that's...
And, it was just like ended up, you know, being a lesson one, but also just like this magical kind of experience, and we just continued to keep having these magical experiences the whole time we were there in Hawaii. It was crazy.
That's so I have a surprisingly large number of stories that are like, and this random local while traveling just fucking took a shine to us and we did something very cool and off, you know what I mean? Like it's happened to me a few times, and I think part of it is like you're like professionally charming, like that's what we kind of have to do for a living, is like engage with people in some way. And then like I know Stacy is like such a sweetheart, and my wife's the same way. It's like, if you're nice people, like, you know, people can detect that, and good shit happens. Like, that's such, like, you were gonna just snorkel around the bay, and then because Earl happened to see you there and you put out whatever certain vibe. But it's like a testament to both the magic of Hawaii and also the kind of people that you and Stacy are too. Cause that's like the, that's
part of it. Thank you.
See, that's part of it though. Cause I'm sure there's people who are like, yeah, I went to Hawaii and everyone was a prick to me. Like, yeah, I can see that too. like sometimes the people who are like, I hated that place. I'm like, you want to be like, it was you. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, there is a mentality that obviously I'm susceptible to, is to just complete distrust of any, you know, it's like their area, and I'm the one coming in like, who's this asshole?
Right.
You know?
I don't give a shit what people think of me on a daily basis until I'm traveling somewhere. Then I'm like, please don't think I'm like the loudest, fattest American, but I'm like, no, but you understand, I'm different. Yeah. I'm trying to be cultured.
No, it is. And I think if like everyone kind of approached it, even when you're in, you know, the States, it's like, I feel like, and I try to kind of remind myself to be this way, is like, I think the best job would be to be an American diplomat, you know?
Like to go to other countries on
behalf
of
America.
You just
go and you have dinners on behalf of America and you're like nice and you just
learn
about
culture and you're like, oh, what's this dish called?
Yeah,
that sounds
like
awesome.
I would love to be... That should be my job in my whatever the third act of my life or something
so
like that.
That's your Clooney to tequila. You jump to international relations.
Like, but if you just treat it that way, like if you try to be just nice,
penis cage. Yes, your penis cage.
That's me.
Welcome back to interlocking.
Any hope for that career based off of all my work previous is made that hopeless. But you know that it is what it is.
Oh, that's so. Do you have any vacation or trips planned or brewing?
The next one is all set up. It should be a mix of, well, because we're gonna go back to Bama for Christmas, so we'll be hitting Birmingham and Mobile.
Ooh, is Stacy from there too?
She's from Birmingham. She's originally from Franklin, Massachusetts, like Boston area and stuff, which I love. Boston is like one of my favorite cities. And then
It would be a great city to me too if I wasn't from New York. If I didn't know New York was so close.
Because I have that distance, it's fascinating to me. But and we went on a great ghost tour when we were in Boston, which I also recommend. Any haunted tours, you should always, that's better than just a history tour, because it's a history tour and a ghost tour.
Right. Yeah. They're always going to explain some shit about
it. We did that in Hawaii. You can like look, just like get a, you know, you just go anywhere you go, you should just do the haunted
Charleston
tour.
Charleston has some great haunted tours too.
Oh, and if you're going to Europe, you should do the Rick Steves is my man. He's like the European traveler, you know, guru.
Oh, yeah.
And he does downloadable walking tours, and you can just get those and walk around a neighborhood in Barcelona.
Like it's a podcast, like, more or less.
Yeah. And they'll give you like step by step, like, now take a left on 3rd Street. And this building was known as
Rick Steves.
Rick Steves, man.
Expect to follow up.
And you should know about, he's also he's like huge into weed and legalization. And he's like one of the people you can't argue with because he's so nerdy and just like everybody loves him from, he has no political, he doesn't trill, unless it comes to travel or weed, he's not outspoken politically about anything.
Oh, interesting. This guy's like right in my wheelhouse.
Dude, look up Rick Steves. I went and saw him speak at the Ace Hotel one time. And he's such a nerd, but it's like,
I might have him on
him
as a fuck. I might try to get him on High and Mighty.
See if you can. Oh, that makes so much sense. And then, what was I saying? But, so we're going to Birmingham and Alabama. Yeah. Well, walking tours, like they have them for New York. There's like, you just look those up. Right. I love those things because it's like, it's on your own time. It's like, oh, I'm on my way from this to that. I have little time. I can listen to this 20-minute walking tour And you'll discover these like little nooks that you hadn't thought of before. And he even does them for museums, like big museums. Like you can get that instead of
the museum version.
Paying €8 for the, you know, the headphones at the museum. You can just download it to your phone. I always, if I'm going to Europe, then I always do like download a bunch of Rick Steves podcasts or any of those historical podcasts.
Oh, shit. I will definitely do
tours.
That. Yeah. So sorry, you're going back. You're taking Sonny to Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
This will be for the first time.
We're going to meet the family. Yeah. He's never been to Bama. And then
have any of the relatives come out to see him?
Pretty much everybody but my sisters, which I don't know what the fuck is wrong with them, but he's going to meet his aunts on my side.
Oh, so fun.
And then we're going to go to New Orleans for about a week after for New Year's.
Whoa.
That's my favorite, one of my favorite cities.
Wait, hold on. We should have another episode. We should do another episode about New Orleans because I've been there three times. I fucking love it there.
Yeah. It's 2.5 hours from Mobile, which is where I grew up. And so I tend to fly into New Orleans when I'm going home.
And so you can get a couple of days there after the fact or before the fact.
Right. And I got friends and a cousin that lives there. And so,
Shit. We got to talk about this.
Oh, man.
And specifically, let me know how New Orleans is with a 1 year old or however old Sonny will be at that point.
Because that's going to be the tricky that that's going to affect majorly this.
Because that's like all we're talking about is like, we want to do another trip to New Orleans and we're hoping to be pregnant being pregnant in New Orleans seems awful because you can't drink or eat shellfish or whatever.
Right.
So it's like, maybe we should wait until we have a kid. Or we either got to get it in now or wait till you have a kid. But I'm curious how old a kid is. Because I feel like you can still walk around with a fucking kid in a Bjorn. If you have a nearby hotel where you can be like, shit's hit the fan, get to the hotel, we'll come back and get Bloody Marys in an hour.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
I feel like you can swing it.
Yeah, you can, because it again is a very walkable city. And we'll be staying in the Garden District this time. So we'll have those nice cemeteries we can walk around.
I stay in the
Marigny
when I go.
Oh, the Marigny. Yeah. That's a great, I mean, it's like my favorite city. And I often compare it to Boston because they're like these European vibes, you know?
Yeah, they're like, that's American like the cities. Anglo-European vibe. And New Orleans is like the French, like Spanish.
French, Spanish. Yeah, influence there.
Fucking Mimi's in the Marigny is like one of my favorite restaurants in the entire city. Yeah.
They have great, like those little just like
goat cheese croquettes, is that what you're going to say?
I was going to say like tapas.
It's all tapas. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
And the vino verde, they're like
which
green
wine.
Which
is a Barcelona thing too. Like that's what you love about Barcelona is the tapas restaurants, just wandering around through cobblestone streets, grabbing some tapas here and going to the next place.
Literally, my wife said last night, we were like half asleep doing research. I was like looking at Barcelona shit on my phone. I'm like, well, she chose Barcelona? And I was like, what makes you want to go to Barcelona? She's like, tapas. And I was like, that's a crazy reason to spend $3,000 on a flight, but you're not wrong. That does seem awesome.
It's great. And they just count your toothpicks or your plates or whatever at the end.
That's so dope. Yeah.
But Mimi's on the Marigny is great. And it's it's a dive bar
on the first floor where you're allowed to smoke.
Food.
And then on the second floor is like the best food. It's so fucking good there. I love that place. And of course, you know, like a monsoon and a burger from Portugal. Like there's so many things. Let's do a whole New Orleans app. We can maybe get some fucking Cajun lunatic. It's like I have to have some friend that is from New Orleans or is like an expert there, and the three of us can go deep.
Hell yeah.
Alan, thank you so much for coming on and talking vacations.
Thanks
now I'm like
me.
Really grooving on some vacation ideas. I want to go to Hawaii. We literally have talked about maybe two vacations each in over in an hour. So.
I know. There's more. I mean, there's plenty more, brother. It's definitely something. Don't sleep on these vacations, man. Take a trip.
Yeah. You know, and this is going to be more depressing than I want it to be to end it, but like something that always comes to mind is my father was like an avid reader. He read the newspaper every single day, two different newspapers cover to cover. And I'm like, Dad, you should read books. He's like, I don't have time for books. I want to know what's going on. He's like, when I retire, I'm going to read. He had like a bookshelf of stuff that he gifts, like Derek Jeter, like he was a big Yankee fan, Giants fan. So he had like all these books. He's like, I'm going to get around to reading these. And then he passed away at like 55 and never read a book from the ages of like 35 to 55. And I'm like, I see myself going like, well, I'll travel a bunch when I'm older. I'll travel a bunch when once I'm retired and I have nothing going on, I'll be traveling like crazy. Once the kids, and it's like, don't put shit off just in case. God forbid.
It's true. Stacy's father did that same thing. Yeah. Same thing happened. And, you know, you know, now her mom is just kind of traveling her ass.
Yeah, that's what
off. My
mom's doing now, too. She's like got like three different groups of girlfriends where she just goes
just
all over.
Just going these travel
like, Jonathan,
groups.
I went to Cuba. I'm like, what? It's just opened. And she's like, we took a cruise from Miami to Cuba. It was so nice. Jonathan, they have all these old cars. You know, it's like,
it's like, Mom, they're doing sonic attacks on American diplomats.
My head is pounding. This guy asked me to bring a briefcase back for him. I'm supposed to meet him at JFK.
No! But that's cool, man. Like, you got to see other parts of the world. That's the fundamental problem I feel like right now is that people don't.
Yeah, don't and see other parts
that's
of the world.
The only problem is that people don't travel.
Well, it's like hard to be racist if you go somewhere where there's a whole nother race that lives there. Right, like it's hard to like dislike a race when they're, you know, you're in their world or you're like, oh wait, no, you're we're all fucking same.
Oh, this is y'all. This is working here too. Yeah, this style, this culture, and everything's fine.
Where can people find you on Twitter and television and etc.?
Plug on TV. I'm at Alan McLeod.
On your TV handle is at Alan McLeod on Twitter, right?
At Alan McLeod on Twitter. On Insta, you'll see all my travel pics and stuff.
Oh, sick, dude. Sick. Get that Taos shot. I need a shot of shirtless Alan in a fucking hot pool.
Oh, yeah.
Just chugging arsenic. Goodbye, cruel world. And, yeah, You're the Worst is Wednesday nights on FX.
You're the Worst Wednesday nights on FX.
This will probably come out this week or next, so there's still a couple episodes left.
Check
it out.
We're about halfway through the season right now.
Truly, like, so many of my friends are on so many different shows, but there's so few that I actually watch, and You're the Worst is one that me and Tiff, like, and it's rare that both of us lock in on a comedy. You know what I mean? Because there's something about You're the Worst that makes it not a comedy where you're like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to probably end on a downer.
Oh, yeah. Almost always.
Or just be a downer the whole way through. But that's great.
Truly, the hardest thing I've had with the show so far was the portrayal of the improv comedian world. And not because it offended me, but because it was so real. I was so mad at myself. I'm like, oh, my God. This is what I'm like. This is so bad.
Yeah, you know, it's good. It's another way to just like look in the mirror is when your friends write on TV shows about your lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, you're like, hey, wait a minute, that's me. That was like, remind me one time I was watching Mindy Project and Adam Pally like clearly improvised a bunch of stuff about his college rugby team. And I was like, you definitely, I think, took that from a conversation with me, dude.
We referenced Pally on the show at one point.
You just call him by name, right?
Yeah. I can't remember what it is in regards
to. I don't remember the context at all.
It's certainly not an insult, but I can't remember.
But it was something like, oh, what about Adam Pally? Like, I texted him when I saw it, too. I was like, you just got name dropped on fucking... You're the Worst. And the new you're always on Drunk History as a narrator from the early days.
Yeah, I should be, you know, if for whatever the new season is, gosh, I mean, like season five, I can't even believe.
I don't even know what season. Going I can't believe that they've been getting people to get wasted for this long.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's oddly professional, too, which is weird when you do it.
I think I'm supposed to be on what was initially considered a Halloween episode, but if it's not out yet, maybe they're going to rebrand it as
just a spooky episode,
you know, Unsolved Mysteries or something.
I'm on the new season of Drunk History as well as a drunk narrator. So if that's you're tired of hearing me ramble stoned into a microphone, maybe listen to me ramble drunk into a camera.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Alan, thanks so much for coming out, man. As always, I'm at John Gabrus on Twitter. No H in John or Gabrus. Buy yourself a shirt at Gabrus.com/shirts. And why don't you listen to the Action Boys on Patreon? That would be sweet of you. All right, guys. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.